Blog Talk Radio.
In the beginning was the beat, and the beat was the rhythm of God, and the rhythm of God is the harmony of humanity, and where there is harmony, there is peace.
Want to welcome you to the Uplifting Us Dare to Win Thursday Night Call. We're here every Thursday at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And tonight, the topic question for tonight is fires in Africa and Brazil's rainforest. Why should we pay attention? Once again, we're going to be talking about fires in Africa and Brazil's rainforest, and why should we pay attention? We will be right back. Once again, family, we welcome you and all of our listening audience heard around the world to another Thursday night program of the Us Lifting Us Economic Development Cooperative's radio broadcast, Dare to Win. We're here every Thursday evening from 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and we have a sobering discussion about the economic plight of Black people and the imperative that we build a global economic machinery that will free us. Our mission at Us Lifting Us is to build, maintain, and pass to future generations the machinery of economic determination. I'm your host this evening. My name is Brother Thurman. And to join the conversation, you can call us at 929-477-2789. That's 929-477-2789. And you press 1 on your keypad if you have a question or comment. And and also, if you want to listen by internet radio, you go to www.usliftingus.com. That's www.usliftingus.com. And when you get to the home page, you look for the gold bar and that says radio. If it doesn't show automatically, and you click on that and it opens up the Ulu Radio tab. You'll see a globe, and you click on Ulu Radio to listen live, and you will be listening on the air. Our guest this evening is Sister Nanana, who is an Ulu board member, and she is bringing a very timely and thought-provoking topic. And the question for discussion is the fires in Africa and Brazil's rainforest. Why should we pay attention? Greetings, Sister Nanana, and give us some good words to the audience.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much, Brother Thurman. Greetings to you and greetings to our listening audience as well. I am always very pleased to have the opportunity to share some time and some thoughts with our sisters and brothers out there in the listening audience. And our subject this evening, I believe, is certainly a very timely one, and I'm hoping that you, Brother Thurman, will chime in as well and share some information, particularly around what's happening with the fires in Africa. So we'll do it as a team this evening. That's what I'm looking forward to. Thank you.
Yes, wonderful, wonderful. So family, please take notes, and you've got comments and some valuable information. Please share it with us at 929-477-2789. That's 929-477-2789, and press 1 when you're ready to speak with your comment. And so, Sister Nanana, can you get us started with some background and context on the fires in the Brazilian or Amazon rainforest, and then we can move on to why we should be paying attention?
Yes, certainly. I'm pleased to do that. And some of this information may be old news to some people because it's really been a headliner as of lately. But I think it's important to review some of the important, more prominent facts. And before moving on to actually talk about some of the reasons why and the other political perspectives around this whole piece, I'm going to ask you, Brother Thurman, if you would make mentions of some of the specifics relating to our motherland, the continent of Africa. Also, I think it's important to note, even before I get into talking about some of the specifics concerning Brazil, that as of recent, some of the more recent developments that have occurred for those who have been following this very noteworthy news commentary that's been going on for probably over 2 weeks is that there is a definite political slant to everything that's going on here, and a very definite capitalistic slant to everything that's going on. So that's what we want to pay attention to, in addition to the what's happening to our ecosystem. So starting with a little background, the Amazon rainforest located in Brazil are the most vast rainforests on the planet. They cover about 2.1 million square miles. 60% of that square miles is actually right in Brazil. And from what I understand, the African rainforest is a very vast area as well. Not quite as big as the one in Brazil, but covering quite a large area. The Brazilian or Amazon rainforest has been referred to as the actual lungs of the earth. That's the role that this rainforest plays, because it's through its ecosystem that the earth receives about 20% or maybe more of its oxygen. This oxygen process takes place through the trees and other plant life that take in moisture at their roots and then disperse the oxygen into the air. Additionally, the rainforest houses at least a minimum of 10% of all known species. And once again, in looking at that in comparison to the rainforest in Africa, there's a large percentage of both animal and plant species that are housed there as well. More specifically, we know that About 1,500 of the world's bird species are there, as well as over 40,000 different plant species and approximately 2.5 million insect species. And you know, human life cannot exist without plant and insects. Some people don't think about that, but that really is true. So, you know, I'm using the 10% figure here because new species are discovered almost weekly in the rainforest. That tells you how prolific it really is. So we stand to lose about 20% of the Earth's oxygen due to the current fires that have been burning for over 2 weeks now. You know, and who knows how long the fires have been burning, and we just haven't had media coverage. This is truly what can be identified as a global catastrophe. With 17% of the rainforest having been lost previously over the past 50 years due to a variety of reasons, this current bout with the fires, I judge, is very serious relating to, you know, global survival. Now, keep in mind that small fires are common during the dry season, both in Africa and Brazil, but not to this extent. On both continents, you're seeing these fires to a much larger percent than they have been before. In Brazil, the current surveys indicate that there are over 80,000 separate fires. Now, this is a phenomenal increase. You're talking somewhere between 88 to 90% increase in the number of fires. So here again, this is serious. Now, the president of Brazil, Bolsonaro, has called the data lies. He says that it wasn't true initially when he was questioned by the press, and even proceeded to fire the director of the National Institute for Space Research in Brazil, who had compiled the data. So to me, that was a big signal that there was something political, something deeper going on here. So we also have to keep in mind that Bolsonaro boasts of being a Donald Trump admirer, and that his behavior reflects what we might see from Donald Trump. He's been given the nickname Trump of the Tropics. So this is all of these pieces are fitting together. An important piece of this echo picture is that fire releases carbon that is stored in the trees. The carbon enters the atmosphere as either carbon dioxide or methane, where it contributes to what are commonly called the greenhouse gases. This is what is a major cause of climate change. And of course, Donald Trump says that there's no such thing. He refuses to participate in any dialogues or, you know, significant activities with the G7 related to addressing climate change. And Bolsonaro was following that same bent himself, except as of recently, I think the evidence has become so overwhelming for Bolsonaro that he has had to retract some of his former statements, and now even is saying that he might accept help from the G7 nations in putting the fires out, if in fact he can be assured that there are no strings attached, and if in fact he receives an apology from the French prime minister, who had made what might be considered a derogatory statement concerning Bolsonaro. So you have all of this going on while human beings, live breathing human beings, are suffering. So all in all, what we have is a situation that is contributing to us having a warmer and a drier climate. So I'm going to stop right there, and I'm going to ask you, Brother Thurman, if you want to add anything about Africa. And I think we may even have a caller that has a question or a comment.
Yes, we do have a caller. So let's go to the caller. Caller with the last four numbers, 4457, 4457, please give us your name and tell us where you're calling from and give us your comment or question.
Yes, good evening, everybody. This is Abby O'Doon in New York City. How are you, Sister Lenana and brother?
Good. I'm doing well, Brother Abby O'Doon. It's always good to hear your voice. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Sister. I just have a comment. I thought I would get this comment in early in the show, because this is something that's been in the back of my mind, but I'm kind of partly because of my own health situation, as you know, Sister, but also it's been in the back of my mind for more than a couple of decades now. I just don't have enough personal power to do anything about it, and it has to do with the fact that we have been losing rainforests in Africa for a good long while, and I'm noting that if we were able to come up with a solution to turn the tide back, at least in Africa, and maybe apply that also to Brazil down the road, that we would go a long way to empowering our people, because they would have some sense that the land is stable and will handle additional ability to support them. And what I'm referring to is that there's always been news around about how Israel has perfected desalinization plants along the Mediterranean coast, that they're able to bring water inland and help their farming community, their agriculture business. So I'm thinking if we take a corner of that kind of technology, assuming that it really exists and it's not just a bunch of hooey, we take that kind of technology and pair it with an aggressive program of planting young trees, at least the length and breadth of Africa and the Nile Valley, from top to bottom in the Nile River Valley, we could have a quick growth thing that would secure a large portion of the whole continent and spread, you know, towards the west, which is not Nile territory. If that policy could also be observed and succeed in Africa, we may be able to apply something like that in the Amazon basin and recover that area as well. And ultimately, obviously, the idea is to preserve breathable air to the population of the planet. And I just wanted to comment on that. Maybe some of our listeners have some abilities to move that idea forward that I do not have. Thank you very much.
All right, brother. Thank you. Yes, Sister Nanana, you'd like to respond to the comments?
Well, first of all, I'd like to say thank you to Brother Abby O'Doon for sharing that information. And certainly those are the types of initiatives and solutions that we would like to look at going forward, I'm sure. In addition to, and I'll speak more about this in a minute, in addition to just having the very greedy and unfeeling efforts on the part of the capitalist business machines that are more interested in gaining profit from the oil, the mineral, the trees, and other riches that they can take from both Africa and Brazil, just having them to stop their efforts, because there is evidence that, yes, some of these fires are as the result of, the natural process that some of the small local farmers use to slash and burn their fields to create more fertile ground for the following year. However, a great deal of them are not. And so it does beg the question, you know, how did these fires get started and why have they been allowed to burn to the extent that they're out of control? And the answer is, in my opinion, that there's profit in there for someone, for sure.
agree.
And so I can go on to speak more about why I think this has happened and the two major reasons that I see that this has happened. Unless, Brother Thurman, you'd like to make a comment specifically about Africa, or if we have another question.
Well, I just briefly say that the news that's been out, and you probably already mentioned it about Brazil, but there's been little news, even though it is available, in terms of what's happening with Africa, and people have asked you a question, why? And so, for example, August the 28th was yesterday, a satellite image that NASA Fire Information website shows a shocking map indicating that there are more fires in Africa than in Brazil right now, talking about right now. And it's in the Congo Basin, Angola, the Democratic Republic of the Congo, and they're just riddled with fires. And it's actually, I'm looking at a picture of Brazil on the left and Africa on the right, and it's saying that, you know, there's 2,000 plus fires in Brazil. You know, this was yesterday that this map is showing, and yesterday it was showing in Africa that was 10,297 fires, and significantly more. And so that's I would suspect that like so often that things that's related to African people that they try to suppress what's really going on there. And so there's a lot of similar kind of things going on in Africa as they are in Brazil, but it's two different land masses. But Africa, in terms of its size and contributions to the rainforest, is number two in comparison to Brazil being the number one on the planet. So, Sister Nanana, you did want to continue on about how do you think this happened. Go right ahead with that.
All right, thank you. I appreciate your comments and helping to draw a clearer picture for us as far as a comparison is concerned. You know, it's my judgment that this all started for two reasons, specifically referring to Brazil. First, I believe that these fires and the looting of the trees and the taking of the inappropriate mining, illegal mining, this is all a retaliation, partially, for the landmark victory of the Warani, I believe that's the correct pronunciation, Warani tribe of people, which are native to the Amazon. And this landmark decision was made in May of this year, whereby these native indigenous people were able to keep their land and not to have it sold to the oil companies, which is what the Brazilian government had wanted to do under the leadership of Bolsonaro. So I believe that that is one reason. That just happened in May, and here we are in August and having these fires, which may have started as much as 3 weeks ago, who knows, maybe a month ago. Secondly, if the fires burn enough of the rainforest, the native people who are there, and there are over 400 indigenous tribes of people throughout the Amazon, these people will have no choice other than to leave their land. And once the land is abandoned, Bolsonaro, who, by the way, I think I mentioned before, is known as Trump of the tropics, will then allow the oil companies, the logging companies, the mining companies, and the cattle ranchers who need vast amounts of areas for grass to graze their cattle to move in deeper than they already have and to exploit the land for profits. None of this profit will be shared with the Aboriginal people. That's not the way that this is going to go down, because once they leave, they're going to be identified as having having deserted the land. So those are the major reasons that I see in this situation.
Yes. Okay. Sister Nanana, we've got another caller. Let's take this caller with the last four numbers, 3176, 3176. Please give us your name. Tell us where you're calling from.
Greetings, Brother Thurman and Sister Nanana. This is Brother Kimbizi calling from Atlanta. I want to thank
Greetings.
You for a very exciting topic this evening. And want to just add to conversation that keep in mind when we're talking about Brazil, that Brazil also has the largest population of African descended people in the Western Hemisphere. And according to the latest statistics, well, at least the 2010 census, there are 97 million Brazilians of African descent who identify as black Brazilians. Giving them 50.1% of the population. Those who identify as white are 91 million, and they come in at 47.7%. So when we're talking about Brazil, we're talking about a country with a very large population of African descended people. And then to the point that both of you are raising about these fires, and that Brazil, the rainforest in Brazil, as we know, is listed as the lungs of the planet, and they supply about 20% of the oxygen to the planet, and the rainforests on Africa are considered the second set of lungs for the planet. When these fires are burning, the first problem that's being created is that These are plants and trees and grasses that hold carbon. And when they burn, that carbon is released into the atmosphere. So in addition to the problems that we're already seeing because of these heat-trapping gases in the atmosphere, every day that these fires burn, that's more CO2 being released into the atmosphere. So that just makes the problem even worse. And to Sister Nanana's point, the fires that are raging now in Brazil, there's suspicion that they are being deliberately set by the logging and mining interests and those who long to capture that land for raising cattle. The last point that I simply want to share is that all of this is economically driven. This is capitalism on steroids. Proving to us that the system of capitalism is illogical, it's irrational, and it is out of control. But it is only doing what it is inherently designed to do because of its own internal makeup. So the greed, the profit-driven madness of it all, and the support by people like Trump and Bolsonaro just shows that they only think for the week or the moment or the hour. They have no concern for what the impacts of these fires, and if we don't do something very soon about global warming, what that's going to mean for the entire planet and for all of our children and grandchildren. So that's my comment, and thank you for allowing me to share.
Thank you so much, Brother Kimbizi, for your comments. I appreciate the perspective that you bring, and I totally agree with you that this is all about capitalism. And so when you talk about reasons why we as African-descended people need to be paying attention and paying attention very closely as to what's going on here, we are seeing capitalism at work for sure. And, you know, it gives us more reason to know and to truly understand that capitalism is not an economic system that we want to have involvement in. This whole relationship between Trump and Bolsonaro, both of them agree that climate change is a hoax. You know, they keep putting this out over and over again. Neither one supports the position on climate change stated in the 92 Earth Summit. Neither one of them went on record as agreeing with that. Both say that there's no connection between infrastructure changes and climate change. In other words, they're saying that you can do literally anything to the earth that you want to do and that it's not going to make a difference in the climate. And Trump has agreed to allow Bolsonaro to have access to military equipment from the U.S. that Brazil could potentially would not otherwise be able to afford. And he would do this provided Bolsonaro uses his relationship with the Venezuelan military to force Nicolas Maduro to leave office. To leave office. So you see all of this political stuff comes to play under the heading of capitalism, and the well-being of the people is not being taken into concern. This opens the way for Trump then to seize the Venezuelan oil reserves, and it's all about capitalism and greed. I totally agree with you, and you know, I'm going to talk a little bit more about that shortly, but I think I need to let Brother Thurman have an opportunity maybe to take us to a break or see if we have another question.
Yes, we're going to get ready to take a break. And I just like to add that some of the when the Indians in Brazil got their court ruling, which was to protect 1 billion acres of land, shortly after that court hearing and the Indians celebrated, some other fires started that were not on fire. Some other land, a part of their land that was not on fire, was suddenly on fire. And to me, overall, when it comes to Brazil and Africa, it's telling us red flags every day that there's a state of emergency and we need to be getting serious about saving Mother Africa, saving ourselves, but we got to get serious about having some everyday survival strategies. Because a few days ago in Brazil, in one of the cities 2,000 miles away from the large burning, it actually blocked out the sunlight in the middle of that afternoon or something along that line, the smoke from it. And so it's causing problems like Brother Kambizi talked about. It's going to cause more problems, respiratory problems, and other things. And we need to be prepared. We need to prepare ourselves and fortify our spirit and mind, number one, and do some things to make sure that we are boosting our nutrition to protect us from the effects of these things. So family members, we're going to take a quick break, and then we will be right back, and Sister Nanana will continue on. Family, welcome back. We want to continue on with the conversation, and we've got There's so much information to discuss around that subject, and what should we be doing about this whole situation in terms of Africa as well as Brazil. And so, Sister Nanana, let's continue the conversation and talk to us about what can we do about it. What should we do?
Well, thank you. Thank you, Brother Thurman, for the lead-in on helping to continue this discussion. And certainly, we need to be paying attention. As African-descended people, as melanated people, we need to be paying attention to this for a couple of reasons. You know, as stated by the French president, Marcon, our house is burning. You know, this is indeed an acute emergency. Life as we know it on the planet is in danger. The G7 has indicated that they will be sending aid to help Brazil and to help them put out the fires. I'm taking a very critical view of Bolsonaro, since it took him, I don't know, what, 10 days or so before he even started talking about possibly dispatching the military to help fight the fires. And so what this said to me is that he had interest elsewhere in letting the fires continue to burn. As I mentioned before, the oil companies, the mining companies, the loggers. So it just seems like he didn't really want to save the land for the people. And these are all key, very key capitalistic type behavior. So for me, the first thing is that our ability to maintain existence on the planet has been compromised. Less oxygen means a warmer, drier planet that will be prone to other climate disruptions, including spontaneous fires. Water supplies are already low in many areas, so how will we cope with more heat? That's a question that we need to seriously be thinking about. Without enough birds and insects, and without them being able to replenish themselves and maintain their species, there are certain crops, actual food crops, and vegetation that will be in danger of extinction. So what happens is that we start to get a domino effect is what the potential is. Secondly, for us as African descended people, and knowing that we are kindred to all other black and brown people on the globe, the repeated pattern of capitalistic powers by this time should be very clear to us. They seek out areas that have natural resources. They invade or somehow manage through political relationships to invade those areas and destroy the indigenous people. Then seize the land and exploit the land for monetary profits. Now, you have to realize that all wealth comes from the land. So this pattern has been repeated over and over again. Therefore, it's not advisable for us at all to follow any pattern that even vaguely resembles capitalism. You know, we need to look at this very clearly and learn the lesson that capitalism has not been, nor I predict will it ever be, our friend. So the basic foundation and value system, as Brother Kimbizi pointed out, of capitalism is oriented toward either individual wealth or wealth of a select group. So capitalism has no boundaries when it comes to what methods to use in order to achieve their goal. Genocide is considered an acceptable tool along with displacement of whole groups of people and imposing long-term emotional trauma on these people. So this capitalistic system, this system is not a fit for what we need to achieve as a nation, which is unity, and we need to have the assurance that everyone has the opportunity to achieve more than what might be called a baseline standard of living. So, you know, the last thing I would say about capitalism is that it acknowledges no God, no God other than money, and human life is not valued. So with all of that said, you know, I'll pause for other questions, and then I want to share what I see as the alternative and the option that we have to participating in capitalism.
All right, family members, listening audience, you can reach us at 929-477-2789, and press 1 when you are ready to speak. And that last line that you said, that capitalism acknowledges no God other than money, and human life is not valued. Human life is not valued. I mean, that's just a very serious statement that we need to take heed of, take note of, and every day keep our focus on that. When Brother Kimbizi mentioned the number of Africans in Brazil, I believe that somewhere in the last year or so, the president have publicly stated in so many words that he wanted to get rid of the Africans in Brazil. And so you mentioned genocide. So not only the Indians, you know, that they're doing that out in the open, but, you know, not as publicized is to get rid of the Africans in Brazil. But it's also overall to get rid of Africans everywhere, or either get rid of them or put them back into shackles again.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to.
I would not be surprised if that. Mm-hmm.
Yes, and so we need a solution. And as Brother Abi Odun called, and a number of things he said that we had the time we need to get into. But among the solutions, and you're going to get into that, Sister Nana, is we must immediately position ourselves, pool our resources, intellectual and financial, to take control of the economics of our communities, and to answer, you know, part of the answer to the brother is in terms of Africa as well as here, all over, is that when we take control economically, we can do a lot of things to help to save our people, save the babies, save the people, save the planet. So, Sister Nanana,
yes,
continue on and tell us what we can do.
All right. Thank you. And do we have a caller waiting with a question or a comment?
Let me check one more again. I'm sorry. Caller with the last four numbers, 3176, 3176, please give us your name and tell us where you're calling from with your question. I think that was a previous call.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you for checking. And as I mentioned earlier, all of this activity that we have seen and all of the kind of positioning from the political leaders that we have seen, all of this is indicative of the capitalistic system. And so as we, as African people, start to do what we need to do to better position ourselves so that we can discontinue having these types of situations approaching us, and in the future, we want to seriously consider the cooperative plan of economics. ULU and the family economic model, I judge, is the remedy that we need. We cannot continue to participate in capitalism and expect not to be victimized at some point by capitalism, because that's the way the system works. The ULU model offers us an exact methodology for achieving economic stability, and it is a fit for our moral standards. We as people, as African descendants, have a value system that says that the most valuable thing is human life. And we have not seen that demonstrated in capitalism ever. So, you know, to say more about what the Us Lifting Us Economic Development Cooperative has to offer, Us Lifting Us offers a exact process that consists of three basic steps or three basic structures. The first one is pooling of our human and our intellectual resources. We have a structure set up for this and a methodology that we use that we know works, whereby we can take large sums of our dollars as well as our brain power and put all of that to work so that we can move to the second step, which is that we use these resources to build businesses, to create jobs. And in this second step of the process, we need to keep in mind that all of these businesses are owned and controlled by the members. And that's very important because the members are actually owners. They are stakeholders in the process. And anytime you that you have ownership in a process, there's just a whole different energy that goes into the efforts around that process. And then thirdly, we have the method for returning the benefits to the community in the form of profit sharing and in the form of charitable giving. So, and the profit sharing for the members, for those who are employees who have taken jobs in the various businesses, that is in addition to a regular paycheck. So the plan that we have, the UJAMA, the family-centered economic plan, is a much different plan than the capitalistic plan. You know, you have everything that you need, so you don't have to go out and start seeking to take something away from someone else, which is basically how capitalism works, and we see it very vividly in the situation that's going on in Brazil right now, or you find yourself in a constant mode of competitiveness with other people because everything is about the individual versus in cooperative economics, in our UJAMA, family-centered economics, where everything is about what's good for the whole or what is best for the group. So I invite the listeners to learn more about what the plan is, the UJAMA, family-centered economic plan is. You can do that by going to the ULU website. That's www.usliftingus.com, www.usliftingus.com. That's our website. Take your time going through the website. Look at all of the information there so that you can thoroughly learn about the plan that's offered. And you can join on the website as well. There's a tab there where it says join, and you can click on that tab and send in your membership application as well as your $50 membership fee. We encourage you at the same time that you're doing that to also take advantage of the opportunity right then and there to become an owner by either purchasing a unit in the Us Lifting Us Economic Development Cooperative LLC. A unit is $1,000, or if you choose to do so, you can become involved in our monthly payment plan, $25 a month, $35 a month, or $50 a month, until such time that you accumulate your $1,000 so that you can have a full unit. We also invite you to take a look at the website for Cafe Ulu. So that would be www.cafeulu.com, cafeulu.com. Cafe Ulu is a model. It is the Ulu model of how a cooperative business venture can work and can work successfully. Employees at Cafe Ulu are also members of Ulu. Everyone that Cafe Ulu does business with is an African descendant person. So all of the money that is going through Cafe Ulu, that is coming in and going out for buying supplies and meeting all other needs, even the space where Cafe Ulu is located, is a space that is owned by an African descendant person. And so this is a model of the system, the exact system showing how it works. So we invite you to take a look at that website and purchase some of the products there, the coffee in particular. And we get coffee from all over the globe. So I think I've probably said enough about that. I'm going to ask you, Brother Thurman, if you have some comments to make.
Yes, Sister Nanana, thank you so much. Family, we've talked about Africa, the motherland, and Brazil, and the Africans that are there. And then we're talking about land that's being, whether it's being burned down and clear cut and destroyed, and it's destroying our planet, and it's creating difficult days. And we've got to respond to all of these, all of this madness in constructive ways to make sure that we position ourselves to save ourselves. And among the things that we've got to do is we've got to do everything we can to preserve land, acquire more land. But if on the subject of land, if we're not in the proper mindset about land, if we keep land or acquire more land or get land that was stolen and that was stolen from us, return it back to us, we've got to do something with the land. We can't just say we got it. And so recently, just in the last few days, a brother in somewhere in Georgia, I believe outside of Atlanta, Muhammad Farms, has about 900 acres. And so the brother was speaking and he was saying, we've got this land, and sisters and brothers are saying that they want food that's organically grown and without any chemicals. He said, and he was in agreement with that. He said, well, I've got, we've got 900 acres here. He said, but me and my wife can't do this all by ourselves. So he was calling on brothers and sisters to come forward because he said, somebody's got to help work this. And so he was saying that we can grow clean food, and we know where it came from and who grew it and what was put on it. But it takes help. It takes labor to get out there to deal with the subject of weeds. And he said, you know, there's a lot that could be planted, you know, for the next growing season, including the winter season, on these 900 acres. But he said it would be wonderful if 200 sisters and brothers, you know, would show up to do some work. So we've got to be prepared to do some work. We got to recognize that to go forward with all of the good things and necessary things that we could do with Us Lifting Us, it does require our participation. Our liberation requires our participation. And so the land that they're destroying in Africa, from an ecological perspective, a lot of this virgin and rare plants and trees and other things, insects, when they burn it down, to a great degree, it won't come back again. And if it did, it would take quite a few years. But there will be some things that's destroyed that is very valuable, have been valuable to our survival. And just to give you an example, the Twa, T-W-A, they still exist in Africa. But to this day, their teenagers can identify about 300 plants. They could take you on a tour, about 300 plants that could be used, as they say, to cure anything. But that's all part of the land. But we've got to participate. And so we've got to get it, reprogram our thinking and get this addiction to stand inside, outside, away from the sun, in the air conditioner. We can't liberate and free the land and plant the land and grow the food and stay inside in the air conditioner. We got to stop the foolishness, and we've got to participate in our liberation.
Well, thank you so much for those comments, and I think that at this point, the major emphasis in looking at the fires that are happening in Brazil, as well as the fires that are happening in Africa, is that there are some very strong political efforts at play here. It's another form of colonization that's taking place in order to grab control of the land. So we as African descended people need to be aware of that. And we also need to be understanding without a doubt that these are capitalistic tactics that are being used, that they've been used before, and make some decisions and take action to start to move ourselves away from capitalism and to move ourselves toward cooperative economics and to look very seriously at the Us Lifting Us cooperative economic plan that we have. The ULU plan does work, pooling our resources, building our businesses, and then returning and recycling those dollars back to the community, and every member being an owner then benefits. So that's the plan that ULU has to offer, and we're encouraging all of you to become part of that plan, because we dare to win, and we are winning, and we will continue to win. So we thank you for your participation with us this evening. And did you have a closing comment, Brother Thurman?
No, we'll let Sister Nanana's going to take us on out.
Well, I think that for a closing comment this evening, I would say for all of us to be aware not just of what's going on around the world globally, but to also be aware of what our role is, what we're doing, and what we're not doing, and to take a very serious look at how we can change the not doing into being more active, because as you said, we have to take an active role in our liberation. That's what's really required. Thank you.
Yes. Thank you, Sister Nanana, and thank you for all of the valuable information that you shared, and ideally the sisters and brothers in the listening audience were taking notes. And we will be back again next Thursday with another topic of interest that's related to us lifting us and our movement to take control of the economics of our community. And we'll see you next week. And make sure you do. If you have not done so, you're up to date with your dues as an Us Lifting Us member. And if you're not a member, make sure you go to usliftingus.com, usliftingus.com, and take a good look at the information that's there, including on the homepage. There's three videos. We encourage you to start with the top video, which is an online presentation, and watch the other videos. And then from there, you can actually leave your contact information where you can apply. You can apply on the website for membership, and you apply, and then someone will contact you, and we will go from there. We thank you so much for being on the call, and we will be back next week.
Held us down, but now it looks like things are finally coming around. I know we've got a long, long way to go, and where we'll end up, I don't know. But we won't let nothing hold us back. We're putting ourselves together, we're polishing up our act. And if you